Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Hey everybody, welcome to a very special milestone edition of the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Hello.
And Judge Eric Asperschlager.
Hello.
All right, and Mac, why don't you inform everybody, what is this milestone?
It's a very exciting day for all of us here. It is the 200th Friday Filibuster.
And we have to check our math, because I really thought we just did our 100th, but
that's
hello.
What I thought. Yes, hopefully the folks at home, they can hear the pageantry that is going on behind us in celebration.
Yes, that's right. The toasts and the drunkenness. And
yes, the parade of elephants that we read for the occasion.
Absolutely.
This is our bicentennial.
It is our bicentennial.
Right? It's like we're sitting here wearing our powdered wigs, podcasting as the founding fathers intended.
Yes, absolutely. What other costumes would we wear for bicentennial? Like the white leggings, perhaps, right?
Maybe. I was thinking like one of those foam Statue of Liberty hats.
Oh, that's good. That's period authentic, definitely.
Yeah, or maybe decorative New Year's Eve style sunglasses that say 200, you know, with the zeros as the...
And we light up some sparklers and like hang them off our ears.
Nice. Wow. Now, that might violate a few fire codes, though. Well... So anyway, yeah. So 200. It's amazing how much time that we've. I don't want to say wasted. what's the other word I'm looking for? Invested, I suppose.
There you go.
In this humble podcast, when it was started way back when, Mac, it was just me and you, right, on the mic, rocking the mic.
That's right.
And then we pulled Eric in and Mike Rubino, who is at the Penguins game. They are losing 1-0 right now. So we're gonna try to. We hope the Penguins lose, so he feels bad about jipping it, leaving us behind. How about that? Or is that not a way we should treat a fellow broadcaster, podcaster?
No, this is the 200th episode. We should probably be a little more charitable.
That's a good point. It has to be optimistic. So hopefully,
really, we should either be charitable or, you know, kind of cut bait. I mean, we got to figure out what way we're going to go.
That's right. So, but vindictive has no room, you don't think?
Well, it can. I mean, you know, if he obviously chose a hockey game over us. I'm just saying that maybe we need to have an off-mic powwow about whether we should be off-mic, if you know what I mean.
Ah, that's true. Like bring him into our office, sit him down, have a conversation with him.
Yeah, I mean, luckily, I mean, it's almost the time of year for our performance reviews anyway.
Right.
So I'm not sure who's doing his this year. I think Mac, you're handling Mike's.
I'm a stern boss.
You are. Drop the iron fist on him for sure. You're the disciplinarian of this group. A lot of people may not. You know, here's a little behind the scenes bit for you. Mac is a stern disciplinarian. He's a taskmaster, so to speak. So, right? No, am I not incorrect in stating that, Mac?
Sure.
You come around, you hit us on the wrist with rulers, right? If we tell bad jokes.
Yes, eyes on your paper.
Max, so Max the taskmaster, which one of us is the guy who sits in the back of the room wearing the Hawaiian shirt with his feet up on the desk?
Nice. You can be that guy ordering pizzas.
Yeah. Okay, so kind of like that. I can be that fat guy from head of the class.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember his name.
He was like the norm of head of the class, right? Yeah.
He was gonna be that guy.
Dennis, yes. The norm of head of the class, absolutely. And I guess if you're the taskmaster, I'm gonna be the beastmaster. Maybe you're the keymaster from Ghostbusters. There.
There you go.
what am I? The pizza master?
Yeah, you're the keymaster.
Oh, I'm the keymaster. Okay.
Yeah. From pizza master sounds like a pretty awesome name for some kind of something. Hey.
I think that was a He-Man character from their last season when they were running out of.
Who can Ram Man fight? Pizza. Billy the Animator is eating a pizza. Pizza Master. Yes. Although that would probably be he'd probably be a boss in one of the Avoid the Noid video games.
Okay.
So basically, you know, it'll be we'll just do our thing here. Well, I don't know. I guess we could toss in some reminiscence as we go along. But it's been a long, strange journey. So Mac, why don't you kick us off by. Just telling us what you've been doing this week.
Okay, well, you know, it's a big milestone, 200th episode show. I know everyone's expecting me to have Yoda here, because we always break out Yoda on special occasions. But I thought I'd mix things up a little bit, so we have a different movie star here with us today. So say hello to everybody.
Wow, that's a shrill. That's a shrill beep.
Yes.
No, that was, of course. That's Gizmo from Gremlins, right?
You're close. It kind of sounds like him. He doesn't really sing, though. All right, I won't do any more because we're annoying the hell out of everyone listening.
Is that Mariah Carey's new album?
Is that Mac from Mac and Me?
We wish. That was, of course, R2-D2.
Nice. Now, is he like your, what is that, like a little action figure or a plush doll? Or?
It's the episode 2 R2-D2.
Okay.
That talking R2.
And with the jet thrusters?
No, this one did not have the jet. That's a different R2. There's two versions of R2 with jet thrusters. There's one that just had little things on the sides of his legs. And there's others that had like a giant plume of smoke that he like stands on to make it look like he's floating. Wow. But no, this is
Geek Barometer Rising on the 200th episode.
This is just the standard episode 2 R2.
So does the episode 2 R2 come with the green screen playset?
No, you have to make one of those if you're out of construction paper. But and when he talks or when he beeps, the little red light on his face goes on, but it's the wrong one. It's the big little like eye thing. When in the movie though, it's the smaller one is the one that lights up. But on the action figure, it's the bigger one.
So what is that like? His reproductive organ? Is that what they messed up?
No, it's like the big lens. But if you were at Midnight Madness in 2002, everybody was like pressing these buttons all at once, and is this the sound of R2 was just everywhere that night. Wow. So there's your action figure history lesson.
Thank you. That's good.
But yeah, other than that, also 200 episodes. On our 100th show, I did a whole series of things that were 100. I only did one this time. I calculated exactly 200 minutes into Arrested Development because it didn't get to a 200th episode.
Okay, yeah.
So exactly 200 minutes into Arrested Development is 10 minutes roughly into episode 9. And it's a moment when Michael Bluth and Lindsay are talking, and Michael is saying, "I'm a saint, I'm a saint." And
I'm a living saint, right.
And I don't get anything out of it. And Lindsay says, "Well, you get your sense of entitlement." And he says, "Well, yeah, there is that."
That's very good. Nice. Boy, that's good. That's good foresight, Mac. Way to make things relevant.
Other than that, just for like other real things, I went to the movie theater and I saw Hannah.
Right. Do tell. I know very little about this movie.
It's different. It's very unusual. It is an action movie. It stars, I believe the correct pronunciation is Saoirse Ronan, young Irish lass who's been in a lot of movies lately. And she plays a young girl who's been trained from birth to be an assassin. This is really a growing subgenre of young girls who are killers. There's been a couple of them out lately. But I don't know what that says about society. But anyway, and she goes on this journey where she's, you know, being hunted by the CIA. It's very different, you know, kind of, you know, the story is just basically teenage born identity, right? But the visuals are like so flashy and so like stylized that it's almost at odds with the story. I don't know. Have you ever seen a movie where it's like, you know, everything's like so super stylish that the story doesn't really warrant it?
Oh, I mean, constantly, of course.
My wedding video was kind of like that.
Oh, was it? Yeah. Hired David Fincher, did you?
Yeah, it got kind of weird.
I mean, how was the action? Was the action good?
The action's pretty good. Well, if you buy the fact that this, you know, petite little 16-year-old is beating up thugs, but if you can suspend your disbelief over that, it's pretty good. There's a really great like foot chase in this like storage yard where they're running over the tops of all the storage sheds. That was a pretty sweet scene. And there's some pretty cool like you know gun versus bow and arrow action. I like that.
Seems kind of lopsided, but oh well.
You'd think that, but they pull a surprise out on you. So yeah, the action was pretty good. The style is pretty good. Saoirse Ronan is she's a pretty good actress. Kate Blanchett shows up as the villain, and she's doing this like Southern drawl, and I don't know about that. I think she's kind of like, you know, oh, look at me, look how quirky I can be. I'm acting, you know. So not quite sure I bought Kate Blanchett, but you know, she's doing her Kate Blanchett thing, so you know, we can't totally hate her. So kind of a mixed bag. You know, it's a simple story, flashy visuals, some good acting, some cheesy action. It's a real mix. You know, it's hard to say whether or not I recommend it. There was good parts to it, and there were parts that didn't quite work. So,
all right. So mixed bag for you.
Yeah.
All right.
But if you like stuff that's sort of out of the ordinary and kind of flashy and stylish, check it out.
Very good. How about you, Eric? I know you've been dodging tornadoes.
Yeah, we don't often have severe storm warnings, but we had a tornado watch or warning tonight, and it was a lot of fun to watch the local news and see them pointing out the possible swirling mass of storms that was right over my house. But
yikes,
we survived unscathed, so I'm here.
So we just get thunderstorms?
Yeah, it was just a really severe line of thunderstorms. It went through in like 5 minutes. I think it's probably still raining, but. Thankfully, we're all still here. I'm here for great. Episode 200. I made it 200 episodes in. So
fantastic.
Oof, that was my goal. I mean, that's basically my bucket list right there, the entire thing. But when I'm not dodging twisters, we'll talk a little video game real quick here.
Go for it.
Picked up the latest game from Valve, Portal 2, which I have been singing the praises of on various social media networks. It's the first Portal, which was basically just like a not quite a throwaway, but just a little kind of a bonus added to a game collection that came out in 2007. It's a kind of environmental puzzle game where you're in this testing facility and you have this gun that doesn't shoot bullets or lasers. It shoots entrances and exit holes in the surfaces of the wall. So you put one entry portal onto one wall and an exit portal on another, and you walk through and you go from one place to another. So it could be on the wall and on the floor or whatever it is. You can use it to solve puzzles. And it was a lot of fun. Really great writing. Really clever. And they finally came out with a sequel. And it's got everything that was great about the first one just magnified. It's super clever. The story's great. The writing is some of the best I've seen in a video game. And it's really, really funny. So I finished it just the other day. And it's a phenomenal game. I highly recommend it to anyone. Stephen Merchant plays one of the new characters. A robot named Wheatley, and he's just hilarious. So it's a lot of fun. I won't say much more than that because the fun is discovering the stories you go through, but the puzzles are really, really satisfying, and it's just a great game from beginning to end. So as soon as someone I know actually has it, I can play some co-op, but until now I'll just go back and dream about how much fun the game was.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And other than that, a couple, I guess, brief old news with Eric Asperschlager TV things. First off, again on Hulu, I've been, you know, checking out the Hulu lately, and I went back and caught up on all 8 episodes of Happy Town, that ABC show.
Oh yeah, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I saw it was on there. I was like, oh yeah, I remember watching it and kind of being slightly sad that it was canceled, because it had kind of a coolish story, and watching it again. I mean, they definitely did some interesting things that made me want to see what happened next. Unfortunately, they end, you know, without going into much of what the mystery is. Although watching again, I can definitely see why it was canceled. The writing is just downright ridiculous in places. There's some just terrible, terrible lines, and you know, things that push believability to the brink. But
what was the general synopsis again?
The general synopsis was that there's this you know, town in Minnesota called Haplin. They called it Happy Town. Had a big bread bakery, and this family, the Haplin family, who kind of were the you know, the aristocrats of the town. But they had this kind of string of abductions by someone that they called the Magic Man, and no one knew what happened to these people who've been abducted. And then there's a murder out on an ice pond, and it seems like it's all starting all over again. And so they're trying to figure out what's happening there. And there's a lot of subplots about, you know, relationships and mysterious strangers who move to town and what they're really after and how it ties in, and a bird, kind of a mystical bird that flies around, and this strange European, I mean, this German silent movie from the 1930s called The Blue Door and how it ties in. So they definitely were, they were going someplace very weird.
So did they, I mean, they really try to build up this surreal mythology.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they did a decent job with it. I mean, I'm not surprised. ABC's had a very poor track record of making these shows stick, whether it's their Life on Mars or that Invasion show or pretty much anything that wasn't Lost. but yeah, it was kind of fun to go back, although it was disappointing as well, because at the end it was like, well, I'll never know what happened next. And so there's, you know, leaving a cliffhanger.
Man, there really was. I mean, when Lost first came out, I mean, I guess it was kind of a sustained attempt to replicate the Lost formula when it came out, but totally. I mean, there was like an avalanche of stuff like Surface. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah, Surface. Yeah.
I guess that was the one with Joseph Fiennes, the Flash Forward, right?
Flash Forward, yeah.
And that was kind of, drawn out agonizingly, and the event. You guys, what's going on with the event? You watch it, right, Mac?
I watched the first couple of episodes and I bailed.
Okay.
I think that's actually still on, but that's NBC.
Oh, that's NBC, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, and they had a Daybreak. That was
That sounds right. Is that the one where he goes back in time? Or
yeah, it's like
was it Groundhog Day?
Yeah. And that was only supposed to last, I think, I think they did that the year Lost split up its season between the first six episodes and then the rest, like a few months later. And that was supposed to just run in the interim, and it didn't even make it that full. That full period. So they've had this had bad.
That's right. And Invasion, you said, right? Wasn't there something called Invasion, right?
Or I think
Invasion,
that was like their first stab at it, which I think co-starred Taylor Labine as like
the
friend. I think so. I could be wrong.
Like glowy things in the water.
You know? Again,
the aliens were in the water because there was a big storm. Yeah.
Yeah. So if it shows up on Hulu, I'll check it out. But other than that, and then. The only other thing, I finally got around to starting the recent seasons of Doctor Who. I'm only in the first season right now, the Christopher Eccleston season, but
that's some good stuff.
Yeah, it can be really goofy, but there's enough to it that I'm really digging it. And I watch the old ones occasionally, but it's kind of this sort of holy geek grail that I feel like I should you know give a good chance, and I'm definitely enjoying it. So yeah, that's what I've been doing.
All right, very good. It's a busy beaver.
I guess so.
Well, I made it out to the theaters as well, but we went to the little theater in Concord, New Hampshire that shows independent movies. So I actually paid some good money for an independent film. It's been something I've been intrigued by for a while. It's called Win Win. Have you heard of this one? Win-Win. Yeah. Sorry, Paul Giamatti, made by the guy to The Station Agent.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'd seen a trailer for it months ago, and it had piqued my interest. And it's a pretty simple story, just about Paul Giamatti plays this character. This family man is just kind of overwhelmed by, you know, like financial challenges and all these kinds of things. And he's a lawyer, and one thing leads to another. He comes into contact with this kid, this 17-year-old kid who left his home to come visit his grandfather, who is Paul Giamatti's clients, and he's got like a druggy mom, and so he's just kind of this lost kid, and he ends up being this great wrestler, because Paul Giamatti coaches the wrestling team. Jeffrey Tambor is in this as well as an assistant coach. It's just one of those sweet, funny, it's not a cynical movie. There's no like rip out your artery ending, you know, it's just, you know, and that's what the reviews I'd read pointed that way. So, and I'm always up for something like that. So I highly recommend actually Win-Win, a good movie, just to connect with if you just want something that's well done, well acted, and, you know, feel good type event. So there you go. Win-Win. But here's a little old news with David Johnson. I don't think I talked to you about this, Mac, but I did get around to seeing Tron Legacy. Did I mention that?
Sweet.
Yeah, I did get around to seeing Tron Legacy. And actually, I think my expectations were pretty low just because I knew it wasn't received well. But I did end up liking it, actually. I did think there was a lot of missed opportunities. You know, I think I would have loved to see some other stuff. Like, I thought Tron kind of got shafted in this movie, you know, Tron himself. And he had kind of a cool redemption scene at the end. And that whole chase scene was really cool. But I would have loved to see him, like, come to it earlier and just dominate Clue's forces, you know, with his disc. That would have been sweet. But I liked it. I thought actually the soundtrack, I think, is one of the best soundtracks I've ever heard. I've been listening to that nonstop Daft Punk's soundtrack. So I definitely enjoyed it. Felt it missed a few opportunities, but apparently they're doing another Tron, right?
They're remaking The Black Hole, those same people who did Tron Legacy. Not sure how to feel about that.
Okay.
And then allegedly after Black Hole is done, they're going back to Tron. And this fall we're getting a Tron animated series.
Oh, that's right. That's true. Wow, they're really pumping that franchise, see if it's got legs, huh?
Yeah.
So I did like Tron Legacy. It didn't totally blow me away, but it certainly wasn't as unimpressive as some of the reviews would have had you think, you know? So, now that's it. So let's move on to what we've been working on for the week. Mac, and if you can remember what you were working on for our very first Friday Filibuster episode, congratulations.
Was it Halloween 4?
Was it?
I don't know. I think. I don't know.
Nice.
But as for what I'm reviewing for the site this week, we're going back to more Star Wars stuff.
Nice.
It's Star Wars on Blu-ray. We got an advanced copy. No, I'm kidding. It's
Wow. That's
what does R2-D2 think about that?
Let's ask what R2 thinks.
Well, language, R2.
Yeah.
No, I've got a documentary. It's called Jedi Junkies. It's a documentary all about Star Wars fans. And you think I'm hardcore for knowing all about the trivia about the 2002 Episode 2 R2. I'm nothing compared to the people in these movies. It's, you know, all kinds of crazy fans from all different walks of life will have stories to tell about their Star Wars love, and a lot of them do it while wearing, you know, costumes. But, you know, there's one guy who has so many collectibles that he and his wife have to sleep on the floor because they don't have room for their bed anymore.
What?
So that was pretty interesting. I don't know how she puts up with him, but there's a school in New York that teaches like stage combat and fight choreography, but they do it all with the toy lightsabers. It's a lightsaber fighting school where you actually learn how to lightsaber fight.
Do you pay tuition to do this, or is it galactic credits do you pay in?
No, people pay, and they actually work very, very hard at perfecting their lightsaber moves. But my favorite, though, the one that...
So you have Arrested Development, I'm flashing back to George Michael's rehearsal.
But my favorite, though, the one that really took the cake, there's a guy actually spent months, and every penny he had, he built a life-size Millennium Falcon in his backyard.
Life-size? Whoa. Come on.
Yeah, no, he really did.
That's impossible. That's a large spaceship.
It is. It was huge, and he could actually walk inside it and stuff.
Oh, my goodness. Too bad he's not going to have any dates to show it off to.
he was unemployed at the time he did this.
Shocking.
And it kind of ends in sort of his story ends in a bittersweet way. I don't know, should I spoil it?
I just Google image searched. I life-size Millennium Falcon Google image search, and I see some possible constructions. I think so. I mean, it looks like there's a Falcon in someone's backyard. Maybe it's his. Must be his, then. How did it end? Don't tell me a fire broke out or something.
A storm came through. Mother Nature destroyed the Millennium Falcon in one night. So he and all his buddies, they built a Jedi funeral pyre in the style of the one at the end of Return of the Jedi. And they held a funeral for the Millennium Falcon.
Nice. Actually, in searching it, I see this Jedi Junkies. So on the cover, is there a woman in her Princess Leia regalia?
Yes, there is.
Yeah. They're obviously appealing to a certain demographic.
the women in the slave Leia costumes, they are everywhere in this documentary. So if you enjoy that, definitely pick this one up. But I enjoyed it, though. It's a lot of fun.
Okay, ambush question to you two gentlemen. Is the Princess Leia Jabba the Hutt slave dress and costume, is that like, would you consider, do you think geeks the world round? I know we can consider ourselves geeks in that, I guess, in the sort of way, but is that like the top most sexiest outfit ever worn by, you know, a movie star ever? Is that like the gold standard that all crappy outfits that starlets dress up in? I mean, is that what it's measured against? What do you think? Is there anything that eclipses the Leia slave outfit?
You know, my gut instinct says that, you know, for some people it might be the tops, but not for most people. But now I'm thinking, what eclipses it? I don't know.
I mean, unless there's some like sexy ensign uniform from Star Trek.
That's right. That's a good point.
Like an Uhura or something.
7 of 9, right? The skin
tight silver cat suit. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. What about the hot Vulcan girl from Enterprise? Is she ever dolled up in anything?
In Enterprise they would go through the decontaminant chamber.
Oh, that's right. We did cover
that. They had to strip down to their underwear and pour goop all over themselves.
That's right. We covered that one. Yes. All right. So anyway, overall, did you enjoy the film, the documentary?
Yeah, I really did. All kidding aside, it's really a lot of fun. I definitely, it's an upbeat kind of feel good documentary. You know, you're laughing with the fans and not at them. So gotcha. It's great fun.
It's good. And you can check it out on DVD, or I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu as well. So
nice. Yeah, very cool.
I haven't watched it yet, but I will.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely an indie movie. So it's good stuff.
All right, cool. Eric?
So this week, as Michael promised last week on the Friday Filibuster, I am reviewing Sarah Palin's Alaska.
That's right. Now, is it more of a nature show, or is it like a reality family show thing?
It's more of a reality family show.
Really? Yeah. Okay. For some reason, I thought it was like an Alaska nature show, more or less.
There is a lot of – it's kind of like if you combine a travel log with – yeah, with that kind of reality show. Okay. I mean, there are times they go a lot of places. Like they'll go kayaking or climbing or hunting or out on a halibut commercial fishing boat. But your enjoyment will depend entirely on how much you like and can tolerate Sarah Palin and her, you know, her style of talking and her kind of life observations / lectures. There's a lot of.
I mean, is it political?
Not outright, but there are a lot of behind you know, the scenes. You know, what she's saying a lot of times has double meaning. She's extolling a lot of virtues, and I mean, there's even a point in like the first episode where she talks about, you know, this is I guess they someone had moved in next door who was writing a book about her and was spying on them, and so she talks about how, you know, her husband built this 14-foot high fence to you know, to kind of wall them off and get them privacy. And she says something about how, you know, we could learn something about that when it comes to protecting our borders. Kind of stuff. Yeah. She'll get in, or, you know, she'll talk about, you know, I had my, my bridal shower on the shooting range. I like to say that. So it irks the liberals. Like she'll throw in stuff like that.
How long is the series?
There are 9 episodes, okay. but each one, is not a half an hour as promised. They're each an hour long. So they're 40 minutes each.
Okay.
But it's a very weird show. I mean, it really is a Sarah Palin show.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, I don't think she's necessarily putting anything on. I think this is probably who she is. Although at this point, she spent so much time in front of the camera and in the limelight. I feel like there's kind of a blurring going on. Like she always talks as though she's on camera. Obviously she is, because it's a reality show, but there's just so much.
So it feels contrived to you?
I think it's sincere, but I mean, there's a point where
just because there's so much, she's in front of the camera so much.
Yeah, I think that even when it's sincere, it can come across as staged. But it's just sort of, you know, I think that, you know, it totally represents, you know, an Alaskan way of life and the kind of things you know, people do when they hunt for their own food and they do all that kind of stuff. So it's interesting on that layer, but. You know, there's also sort of a school marmish quality to it that I think rubs me the wrong way at times. And I think it could, unless you really are just totally, you know, buying what she's selling, I think it's not for everyone, but.
All right. Very good. Anything else?
That's all.
All right. Because I was wondering what we may have been reviewing at the time of the Friday Filibuster premiere, which premiered March 23rd, 2007. It was the very first episode. The premiere installment of David Johnson and Mac McIntyre's Friday Filibuster. I think when you jumped on board, Eric.
I think it was May of 2007. So I was not yet a twinkle in Mike's
day. There you go. Now, our second episode, our ambush topic. Well, actually, Mac, you reviewed the theatrical release of TMNT, you know, the animated film. And believe it or not, you talked about Twin Peaks. Who would have saw that coming? let's see. And our ambush topics were movies about safe cracking, jarring displays of male nudity, villains with male villains with long hair, and R-rated violence in PG movies.
There you go.
So that's probably the first time we've talked Willow. So it's so old. This is how far back it goes, Eric. I was looking around, and there's a Friday filibuster that's below our Veronica Mars postmortem.
Right.
And that seems like a freaking long time ago.
Yeah, that was before I was officially on the site.
Oh, well, was
it?
Really?
I think you called me like a public defender or something like that. just some excuse to let me be on a podcast. And then the first time I was actually on Friday Filibuster was when Mac was out of town.
Oh, to help out. Were you on board at the time?
Yeah, I was. I don't remember when that was, but I think Mac was in New York or something.
reading some of these blurbs, and they're not super interesting. Like in the May 4th episode, Mac, we talked about the fourth season of Wings. Well, that's amazing that we even were able to put together our feeble numbers, our feeble listening numbers. Rats on film, Abraham Lincoln used for comedic effect. That sounds like a Mac. It's got to be a Mac one. Yeah. So anyway, okay. So back to what we've been reading. Let's see. Growing Pains, season 2. Big hit in the Johnson household. My wife loves Growing Pains. It's been 6 years since they released the first season.
Wow.
So I have no idea what's up, but season 2 finally got released. And I have to say, it's a fun little show. Even it's super dated. I mean, there's members-only jackets all over the place. So it's really dated, and obviously there's a major character named Boner. But beyond that, I mean, it's a funny show. I don't know. It's a nice little throwback show, inoffensive. It's pretty. I think it holds its own decently, as far as a traditional family sitcom goes. I do love it though. Growing Pains is weird because they like address these big, they address these important issues. But the Growing Pains, the Seaver family, they're so nice. It's like Mike Seaver's not going to get involved in drugs or anything, So it's like they just know people who do these things. I think the edgiest they got was when Ben called the 900 section number a couple of times. So they did, and we love talking about the 80s, issues, with like Trapped in Refrigerators, right? And all these other things. I forgot about one, Runaways. Remember when Runaways, a huge thing in the 80s? I mean, sure.
There were quite a few of those.
We still have Runaways. I know that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying everyone's stuck around at home. But I do remember lots of episodes and PSAs being devoted to running away. And there's one here in Growing Pains, a Christmas special. Ben finds this homeless girl, brings her over for Christmas, and they find out that she ran away. So that was a good time, Growing Pains. And then a couple import movies, Mutai Giant. Which was disappointing.
Oh, really? Oh, that's too
another
bad.
Thing and a miss. And then a South Korean horror comedy called Chaws, about a giant killer wild boar that shares a lot of strikingly similar plot points to Hot Fuzz. So
really?
That's the best way I can describe it. So, okay. Anyway, Mac, what's next?
Okay. First of all, I did the Google image search as well, and that is the life-size Millennium Falcon from the movie. The one that's on the grass there.
It is. That was. Okay, very good.
So there's that. Moving on, we are going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com, click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, and from there we're going to go to the cover art gallery for May 3rd. And it's a huge list, all kinds of stuff. We're just going to talk about what's on here that strikes us as interesting.
But before we do that, I'm gonna ambush you guys real quick. I found my first appearance in the
film. Yeah, nice. Okay.
Okay. Can you guess what major holiday it appeared on?
Oh, interesting. Halloween?
No, not Halloween.
4th of July.
4th of July, 2008.
Oh, wow! Look at that.
Very cool.
So our nation, we celebrate our nation's birth and then your birth on this podcast, as a member of this podcast. What do we talk about?
Judge Eric Asperschlager is the DH this week for Mac as he and Dave kill 30 minutes talking about fireworks, why America is so effing awesome, the genius of Pixar, and how Randy Quaid is the secret to saving the world.
Well, you guys, all right. That was July 4th. Very good.
And then I came back on the 18th of July to talk about video games, so I guess I was pigeonholed. So, anyway.
Hey, the joys of riding a forklift over a giant amount of cash. We know what that is about.
Oh, yeah.
Look, 80s anti-drug commercials. See, there's definitely a theme. There's things that you can trace through our...
I probably shouldn't look too closely. I think there's probably a very strong theme to just prove that we're repeating ourselves week in and
week out. Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's get back to the cover art gallery.
Willow, Gymkata, Ben 10, Doctor Who. All right, cover art gallery. What do we have here?
Probably the biggest Hollywood release there is the Green Hornet with Seth Rogen. I missed that when it was in theaters, but I'm kind of curious to see how that ended up. Kind of going for a comedic take on it, it looked like.
I have to say, I had very little interest in it. So, yeah. Man, Hellraiser again? Is this the right one? Am I the right? I'm not in the right. Sorry, April 26th. I'm looking at my fault.
Because if you were in the right one, you'd see that Make It or Break It Season 2 Volume 3 is out.
What?
Yes.
But did they release these things the same way they released Ben 10 sets?
It's been a lot. I don't know. It's difficult for me to follow Make It or Break because they chop up all their seasons. So I can honestly tell you, I don't know where we are. I don't know where everything's been left off.
They have like 2-episode seasons.
All right, here, okay, I'm on the right one here. What, Hellraiser again? No, it's not on this week. Make It or Break It, huh? Man. Yeah, well, this is kind of a brief week, isn't it? Not a lot happening here. Season 2, Volume 3.
Wow.
But they're really stretching. They really are stretching. Oh, yeah.
You shouldn't have to use higher math to figure out where you are in a TV show.
Absolutely. Got to carry the denominator. A little show that I enjoyed a good amount, Identity. You see that right on the top?
High praise for that.
I did. I like it a lot. It's 6 episodes, you know, imported from the BBC. I mean, it's still sort of procedural, and I've been burned out on those for a while. But it's probably closer to something like 24, actually. Aidan Gillen, that guy in the leather jacket, he was in The Wire, actually, and he's in Game of Thrones as well. He's kind of this rogue, badass guy, and he's pretty cool. And the girl behind him is in, like, every BBC show ever made. So. But they deal with identity thieves. Actually, it's like only the first episode they deal with someone who, like, stole someone's identity and went on a shopping spree. After that, they really kind of blew out what it meant to investigate identity-related crimes. So they were investigating stuff I had no idea would fit under their purview. But, hey, it was good television.
So do you suppose there's any chance that Ninjas versus Vampires will live up to its name and cover art?
I mean, the name is just kind of stating a fact. So as long as it has both those things, I think it's living up to those expectations.
Look at that cover art.
Guys with swords and shirtless dudes and ladies licking blood off of a knife and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think it's happening. How about I do like a little something called Kung Fu Dunk. Yeah. What?
Guy's awesome. He's got the basketball and he's so full of Kung Fu energy that the ball's like glowing blue and purple.
Man. Oh, we should be getting that, I would think.
Oh. It's like a real life NBA Jam.
It is. I must have this. Yes, I must have Kung Fu Dunk.
Kung Fu Dunk does sound like something you'd order off a Chinese menu, though.
That's right.
I like the Kung Fu Dunk, extra spicy with crab rangoons.
I like the Orphan from Birth. Feng Shijie is raised in a martial arts school and becomes a prodigious master in kung fu. When he's expelled for getting into a fight and destroying a nightclub, he quickly learns that lightning-fast reflexes are good for more than just fighting. He agrees to play for a college basketball team. I don't know how he ended up there after getting expelled. Finding his long-lost family. After dancing display of backboard-breaking slam dunks, alley-oops, and gravity-defying shots, he emerges as the team's new star player. Gee, I would think so. However, when faced with a race to the finals against a team of legendary brutality, he soon discovers that skill alone will not bring home the gold.
I think that might just be it.
Listening. Give me Kung Fu Dunk.
You know, for a while there, it sounded like a remake of Teen Wolf.
Oh, man. All right. That is where it's at.
I like the Discovery Channel documentary on pirates. I think they're trying really hard to make you think that it's somehow related to the Johnny Depp movies.
Yeah, absolutely. Got the exclamation point going and everything.
Oh, there you go.
See, there's some more Ben 10.
Yeah, I wasn't going to bring it up because I didn't want to be repeating myself.
Do it. It's 200. So. All
right. Yeah, Ben 10, another release, Ben 10. This one's a really good one. Some really awesome episodes on this one, so really enjoyed it.
How do they settle on what is America's cutest dog?
There's probably some panel somewhere. I think people like, you know, call in and vote.
Man, I love these. I think we've had these before, the careers for teens.
Oh, no.
They have more?
Border Patrol agent.
What?
Right underneath the Ben 10 row, careers for teens, Border Patrol agent. I like the barbed wire, like, you know, the fence down there.
Just like close barbed wire fence.
I think they just took a picture of barbed wire fence and like combined it with some dressage. It's the guys that are on horseback. That could just as easily be careers for teens, dangerous jockey riding or something.
Careers for teens, extreme fence repair. Line watching. You know, they make it, you know, the way they describe it, it's like the primary activity of a border agent is line watcher. Line watching involves the detection, prevention, and apprehension of terrorists, undocumented aliens, and smugglers of aliens at or near the land border. Sounds pretty awesome, but I'm guessing line watching is actually as boring as it sounds. How many line watchers do you think apprehend, you know, Carlos the Jackal? Any, I don't think.
If you want to find out how much fun line watching is, just get a piece of paper, a ruler, draw a line on that paper, and see how long you can watch it before you get bored and fall asleep.
I mean, the DVD cover actually includes an exercise you can do at home, right?
It's got a line on it. You can just
stare at that thing. There's several lines for you to stare at, actually.
But can you do it on horseback?
Let's see. Oh, I don't know. Anything else? I still can't keep my eyes off of Kung Fu Dunk, gentlemen. What to tell you?
You're smitten, aren't you, Dave?
Well, it combines like three of my favorite things in this world. Basketball, you know, oddball Kung Fu movies, and apparently, like you had said, Eric, NBA Jam.
Yeah. I think he says boom shakalaka. Which also sounds like something you could order off a Chinese menu.
If we're talking boom shakalaka. All right. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. I wonder when we introduced this concept.
Oh, man, that's a good question.
It was sometime in after the first couple of months, I believe.
Okay. So it didn't take us long to go straight to the cut. That's good to know. All right. Mac, why don't you go first?
All right. How about Momentum?
Very good. Eric.
So many to choose from. I'll go with Tennessee's Partner.
Yeah, there is a lot to choose from. I'm going to go with Guy and Madeline on a Park Bench.
I thought about that one.
But you're right. There are a lot of them. There's The Encounter, I suppose.
Curious George Plays Ball.
That's good. Daddy and Them. That's not a bad one.
Upstairs and Downstairs.
That's a great one. Dirty Jobs, of course. America's Cutest Dog. No, okay.
A Somewhat Gentle Man.
That's good. A Somewhat Gentle Man, yes. All right. Moving on to our 200th episode ambush topic segment. When that was with us from the beginning, right, Mac? I think we had that one right from the beginning. In fact, I remember my very first one. Projectile vomit, I believe. That was my very first one. So here we go. 200 episodes later. Ambush topics. I'll go first, gentlemen. Why not? Using the number 200. So 200 movie or 200 of a movie or TV character that you would hate to be trapped in an apartment with.
I'm going to go with Urkel.
So 200 Urkels.
200 Urkels.
How long would it take you to resort to some kind of violence, either violence against Urkel or violence against yourself?
Not terribly long, because every time one of them bumped into a coffee table and knocked something over, they'd all say, "Did I do that?" Which would just be so annoying.
Let's see. Okay, how about the Golgothan from the movie Dogma?
Very good. Yes, made of human feces.
Yes. And you can never – at least I could never understand what the heck he was trying to say. I think he was – spouting Bible verses or something in between throwing pieces of himself around the room.
that'd be a nasty. I'm going to go with I guess I'll go with my original one, though. It's very close to Eric's 200 screeches. So I guess it really, what's worse, 200 screeches or 200 Urkels? Or is that just lose-lose proposition?
Yeah. I would think Urkel would be the worst because Urkel's purpose is kind of to annoy, whereas Screech's purpose is he's one of the buddies.
Oh, right? Man, I don't know. Have you seen Screech in the later years? You know? Well, okay. That would be it would not be a fun proposition. You know what? Let's do another round of this real quick. We'll stretch this out a bit. Give me another. You did TV, so give me something from a movie, Eric.
A movie. 200 from a movie. What's his name? Was it Spike or Stripe? Which was the bad gremlin from Gremlins?
They're both. First Gremlins, it was Stripe
in the first movie, and Spike in the second one.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll go with Stripe because, you know, I'm old school like that.
Yeah, he was more of a bastard, actually.
Yeah.
He was, yeah.
That'd be bad. I guess unless you had the Snow White Blu-ray, you could just stick in, distract him, all 200 of them long enough.
Tough. All right, Max, so you did a movie, so do a TV show now. 200
TV show one. How about Andrew from the later seasons of Buffy?
Yeah, okay, yes. Andrew was, let's see. I'm trying to remember which one he was.
He was one of the three nerds, the one who survived, and then he became one of
the. Did he have the guest spot on Angel? Was he that
one?
Yes, okay. Yeah. Gotcha,
Mac. If you could spoil season of Buffy as much as possible.
I forgot Erickson watching that. Oh man,
that's fine. It doesn't matter.
you won't see Andrew coming, but yeah, and he's kind of up there with a Screech and an Urkel, I would think.
Okay, I don't think quite at this level of Screech and Urkel, though. You know?
Not quite, but he's
because at least he's witty. You know, at least he's got some wit. You know, or inadvertently funny. I mean, there's nothing funny about Screech or Urkel, you know?
Their shows were comedies.
That doesn't mean anything. It doesn't change it. All right, so for me, from a movie, 200 of, I'll probably have to go with, I think 200 of, I'm going to try to really nail the Geek Barometer on this, Mac, okay?
Okay.
Salacious Crumb.
Nice.
All right. Jabba the Hutt's a little flunky, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yes. Nice. All right. So yeah, that'd be pretty tough. You know, I would take R2-D2's relentless beeping over his chirping. So, all right. Well, I did my part to get the Geek Prompter up there. So, Mac, what do you got?
Okay. All right. Objects that aren't weapons being used as weapons.
Okay, I'm going to jump right in here with the kayak from Firestorm.
Nice.
Very nice.
A great weapon.
The incredibly lightweight.
I mean, I'm sure in that place there were axes to choose from and, you know, like pole axes and pitchforks. And then he chose the biggest, clunkiest thing to swing around. But it made for good cinema.
difficult. That's arguable.
Okay, well, it made for cinema.
So there you go.
See, I can't remember which Jackie Chan movie it was, but there was one where he was fighting around a stepladder.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that was. I can do this for you. I know what it is. You keep talking.
Anyway, he was kind of sliding in and out of it, and I think he actually picked it up and used it to fend off his attackers. Swung it around. Yeah, it must have been.
That? Starts with an O, maybe? No, maybe not.
Is it Operation Condor?
No, it's not that one.
No?
Oh. It had more. It was more of a generic name. Hmm. Like a generic action movie name. We'll get our interns on that right away. But that was that's a good example of a.
Was it First Strike?
Yes, that's it. Thank you, First Strike.
Don't thank me. Thank Google.
Very good, Google. Did you type Jackie Chan ladder?
Yes, that's what I typed in. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing what technology can do.
It really is amazing. Yes. Did you actually maybe find a product though called the Jackie Chan ladder?
I put a Jackie Chan step ladder.
Ah, okay. Probably got
it. In the remake, they're going to use a Stairmaster.
All right, Mac, what's yours?
All right. One of the most unbelievably cheesy movies ever made is, of course, Jean-Claude Van Damme in Double Team.
Oh, yeah, terrible. what's his face?
With Dennis Rodman. There's a bit in the movie that always cracked me up when Van Damme is facing off against this evil assassin guy. And right at the very start of the scene, it's like the very first move in the fight scene, the assassin guy, like, kicks off both of his shoes, and his shoes go flying in the air towards Van Damme, and Van Damme ducks out of the way. And it's like...
Which is necessary.
Like, right. Is that really your best move, is you throw your shoes at Van Damme? So
all right.
Even if he didn't duck out of the way, it probably wouldn't hurt him, because he's this big buff guy, so I don't know.
I mean, Van Damme uses a lot of non-traditional weapons and all of it, like in Sudden Death, which obviously is a favorite around here.
Yes.
And speaking of which, we're going to get a quick update on the Penguin score to see if our buddy Mike is happy or not. 31 seconds left in the game. Pittsburgh's down by one.
Time for the big comeback.
So they need Van Damme in there and get him in net right away. But yeah, obviously, in Sudden Death, he uses... There's that whole sequence where he fights the mascot in the kitchen. He uses every single kitchen implement, from a slicer to Tabasco sauce to a dishwasher. All right, but we don't want to talk about Sudden Death because we'll go on and on. So, Eric, why don't you wrap it up for us?
All right, before I do, I found what I think is the first instance of the inadvertently sleazy DVD.
Really? Well done.
It made it into the podcast notes, so I think that makes it noteworthy. It was actually called Unintentionally Sleazy DVD, titles at the beginning, very beginning. So a bit of a dialect change. It was February 8th, 2008.
Wow. Look at that. 3+ years.
there you go. So anyway, okay. So my topic is aliens who don't look very intimidating.
Nice. Well, we already covered Mac from Mac and Me.
And we already covered Salacious Crumb.
Covered Salacious Crumb, yes. That's the aliens who don't look very intimidating. Now, my daughter has really, as your daughter has, Eric, taken a shine to Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, they're not aliens.
Muno is not an alien?
No, they're toys. Actually, they are creatures who are imprisoned for all of but 20 minutes every day for playtime. So I think they're technically inmates.
Yeah.
A maximum security prison run by a guy in a jumpsuit.
They go with Muno, but you took away my Muno. All right.
Well, you can have it if you want. You want Muno if you really think that he counts as an alien.
For the uninitiated here, just who or what is Muno?
Well, Muno, five friends. Yo Gabba Gabba crew. He's probably like 9 feet tall. I don't know. I just watched a Jack episode. He's so he's very tall. I think I don't know who's probably in that suit. It's probably like, what's his face? He played Darth Vader. Is he still alive?
David Prowse. Yeah, he's still alive. He does the conventions.
Dude, the Chewbacca, or I don't know, whoever. He's probably, but yeah, so he's this tall, red, one-eyed alien with terrible skin. Some kind of skin. But he's extremely lovable. You know, he loves to dance.
He has a family and like a baby sister and stuff.
Oh, I haven't seen that one
yet. No, that's in the episode Family, or My Family.
Oh, I didn't realize that was part of canon. Interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
That's not extended universe?
No. That's out in the DVDs, Dave. Right. I reviewed that one, too. I guess, sure, why not? I mean, for all we know, I mean, the entire series takes place in, like, an all-white room that extends forever, so it could be something out of it could be the Matrix, could be THX 1138, who knows.
That's right. We don't know where DJ Lance is walking to or from.
They're probably on an alien spacecraft conducting these experiments on niceness and charity.
I mean, Broby doesn't look organic either, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, they're all genetic mutations.
And maybe Plex keeps them in line. You know, maybe he's like the guardian robot, you know, keeps them all in line.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm going to go with Muno just because it does not get more innocuous than Muno the alien. I mean, even his voice, you know, he's got that high-pitched voice. So, and, you know, he loves having parties in his tummy.
Now, that's Broby, but yes.
I just saw an episode where they're all eating food. They're eating sandwiches. They all
enjoy having parties in their tummy, Dave. But
that's right.
Roby's the one who sang the song "Party in
My
Tummy."
He did sing that. I know. He did sing it, but I saw the very special sandwich episode.
of course, the episode sandwich.
with a special guest music act from the, what is it, Super Music Friend Show?
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's it. Uh-huh.
They sang a whole song about hoagies. not making this up. I'm making this up. Yes.
Are you making this up?
I wish I were.
That's an episode?
Then I'd be. Oh yeah, absolutely.
I have not seen that one.
I don't know if it's called Sandwich.
Probably not.
But there's an entire section devoted to sandwiches. You know what? Okay, it's the one you maybe have seen. It's the one where they go in the. It's a pirate one, I think. They go in the boat when they go sailing.
Hey, believe me, if I've seen it, I've seen it 20 times, so I haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah, so a great song about hoagies and subs and the Super Music Friend Show. So, all right, where were we? Mac, you got
some? Well, there's no way I can top that. For mine, I was thinking of Grieg, who is from The Last Starfighter.
Which one? Wait, is Co-Pilot?
The co-pilot, yeah.
Grieg, that's his name? I've seen, man, that Greek barometer is definitely
He's this kind of lizardly-like guy, but he's very, you know, he's very likable and charming.
Yeah, he talks like a geography teacher or something.
That's right. And he's got that wheezy laugh that he does. Yeah. Like every couple of minutes he does that laugh with it's like this kind of loud wheeze, like he's got some kind of lung problems. So.
Initiating Death Blossom.
Yes,
right?
And, but yeah, he doesn't look intimidating, but, you know, if the chips are down, he'll pull out the Death Blossom.
Oh, man. All right, Eric, what do you have?
Well, mine was actually inspired by watching Doctor Who. And I've always kind of found the Daleks to be kind of confusing because when you look at them, they're just like giant metal traffic cones.
Yes.
With like a couple guns sticking out, but like tiny guns. It doesn't seem like they can move very well.
But they are they incredibly feared in the universe?
Yeah, they're like
the deadliest
kill.
Of the deadly.
Yeah, exactly. they look like okay. Although I have to say this particular episode from season one does a pretty good job of showing just how badass the Daleks can be. And even I didn't realize that they were just these metal enclosures for these kind of decrepit, genetically mutated bodies on the inside. So that was kind of cool.
That's right. Yeah.
Mac, I'm sure you know the history, I'm sure, of the Daleks and all that kind of stuff.
Yes, I have my Dalek action figure is right here as well, but it doesn't make any noise. So
yeah.
If you can open it up inside, you can see like the little brain on the inside.
Oh, really? So that part goes all the way back to the early series then?
Yes.
Okay. I'd seen the Dalek. I knew that it was like the Doctor Who villain, but they just always seem kind of silly. Actually, two quick Dalek stories. One, I had this book. I don't know where it came from. I think I got it at like a thrift store or like a used bookstore when I was a kid. But it had instructions on how to do various. I think it was the same book. Like various makeup to make it look. You know, make yourself look like certain monsters, like look like Frankenstein. I think there was actually instructions to make a Dalek costume.
Really?
That was the first time I'd ever heard of them because I didn't really know Doctor Who. And then second, when I was in London, I went to some museum. I think it was like a TV history museum, and I think they had the original Dalek from Doctor Who. So I saw it again without really knowing too much about it. So,
wow.
So
you were put on a collision course with Doctor Who.
Basically. It's always been there. Yeah, I guess I'm just a bad geek with good luck.
All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this edition of the Friday Filibuster. So thank you, gentlemen, for the 200th episode celebration. We did some recollecting, right? We had some laughs.
Indeed.
Learned a thing or two?
Learned a thing or two, for sure. And unfortunately, the Penguins lost.
Oh.
And our buddy Mike was at that game. So our hearts go out to you, Mike, but maybe you'll be able to free up your Wednesdays now to join us. I know my Wednesday, when the Knicks bounced and swept by the Celtics, I know I've got my attention's firmly focused. So,
Hey guys, here's to 200 more, huh?
Here's another 200. Yeah, here's some more postmortems of great TV shows. You know? So that being said, thank you to Mac and Eric, and thank you to DVD Verdict for letting us take up their valuable bandwidth. Friday Filibuster, DVDVerdict.com is our email address, and Mac, take us away.